I want to say thank you for being privileged to come and share with you today. I have many fond memories of this place and am so thankful for all that was given to me while I was here. And with a thankful heart, I also come with heaviness. September the 11th, the anniversary was just yesterday. That saddens our hearts. And then Wednesday afternoon, a young man by the name of Charlie Kirk, assassinated. I didn't know a lot about him, but as I began to hear people say a few things about him, one consistent thing began to come out. I struggled with what I should share with you all today, but God is so good in confirming what He wants us to do. My message today, my doctor asked me the other day what the topic was going to be, and I said the topic will be caring. And one of the things that came out as various people talked about Charlie Kirk was the fact that he cared. If I can share with you just one thing today, it's the fact that as a servant of God, we must learn to genuinely care for other people. Salvation inherently requires service and servanthood. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is reasonable. Jesus, after preaching the Sermon on the Mount, went into the villages, and he taught and he healed. And shortly after that, in the book of Matthew, you'll find that he sent his disciples forth to do the same thing. We go to Peter and he says that we are a royal priesthood. Well, over and over in Scripture, we are asked to be the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, I want to start in verses 4 and 5. And we'll read these verses, but I want you to understand they tell us that servanthood is expected. Philippians 2, verse 4. It says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Folks, that is service. That is using all the things that God has given each of us as individuals to serve others. Then it goes on to say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." There is an attitude that Jesus had. When it comes to service, Jesus had a particular attitude or mindset. I want to share just a portion of that with you today. But as we look at this chapter here in chapter 2, the first example that Paul gives us is that of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross. His attitude was obedience unto the Father. "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." And then Paul himself, if you look at verse 17, he says, "Yea, and if I be offered." That word "offered" there is a word which means to be poured out. Paul in his life did not go to one place and make some big explosion. His life was drip, 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 drip. he was being poured out throughout his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when it comes to Paul, we look at his calling. Jesus and his cross. Paul and his calling. But here's where we're going to focus today. If you would look with me, beginning in verse 19, we're going to focus on Timothy. Verse 19 says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded." Remember that, "let this mind be in you. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that is a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." Let's pray for just a second. Father, as we think for the next few moments, not only with our minds, but with our hearts, may your word be opened up to us. Father, I pray that if you would use me during this time to speak to one individual, that it would make a difference in their ministry, I would give you thanks. Be with us now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to focus on verses 19 and 20. But first of all, I want us to see the need. It says in verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you." That word shortly means with all speed. There's a need. Now, there's nothing specific what the need was, but Paul was concerned about their state. And he said that Timothy would care for your state like no other would. We don't know exactly, but we can conclude from the book itself that there was a concern among the people at Philippi because someone they loved very dearly, the Apostle Paul, was in prison. That can't be a pleasant experience. I wouldn't want to go to prison today, but prisons today are a whole lot nicer than what they used to be. I was looking at an archaeological program on television not too long ago, and they discovered some ancient prison cells. They were just a pit in the ground about this big around. There wasn't even room to sit down in the bottom of one of these pits. And it was so dark down in there that you really didn't know what you were standing on. But when you were dropped into one of those pits, you were standing on previous residents. Sounds like a nice place to go. Now, Paul's prison experience wasn't exactly like that, but he was in chains. He wasn't free to go and do what he wanted to do, but he was in prison. And I'm sure for the people of Philippi that loved him, were concerned about his well-being. Prisons were not nice. But Paul said, there's a need. I'm going to send him quickly. Speedily, with haste. Folks, I want you to look at the world in which we live in today. There is such a need that is present in our world today, and we need to act with all speed because, quite frankly, life goes by very quickly. Life here is short. The time of ministry that God may give us can be a very short period of time. I think of my own sister. She was growing up and she wanted to go to the mission field, but one day she got sick. And it lasted and lasted and lasted. Long story short, in those days, they couldn't help her. She had a brain tumor. We, as a family, buried my sister on her 16th birthday. I came to know then You don't have to be old to die. But even if you get old, life here on earth before we enter eternity is a short experience. For all we know, we have just today to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, we may not. Folks, service, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, I would hope is the reason you are here today. We have a world with a great need. I was talking to Dr. Anderson not too long ago, and some information came to me from Pastor Hager down here that Dr. Anderson has a stack of churches seeking pastors. Folks, there is a great need in our world. There's a great need in this country for those that will go into the ministry, whether it be a pastor, whether it be a missionary, whether it be a teacher, or in any form of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great need. Secondly, notice in verse 19, Timothy was going to be sent with speed because there was that need, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And then also we read the same thing in verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. This is the nature of man, their state. This word state means the whole being. There is a great error which takes place in churches today where they get involved in what's called a social gospel. They'll go someplace. I have family members that got involved in social gospel. They go to Africa once or twice a year to take goats and soccer balls. Isn't that wonderful? Ministering to people's physical needs is only one side of things. But the social gospel has a great fault. It just gives people a more comfortable ride to hell. If we don't take Jesus Christ and realize that people are more than just a physical being, which cannot be neglected, but we must take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here in this passage of Scripture, verse 22, it says, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he served with me in the gospel. Now, folks, we need to minister to people's needs in the physical realm. We're not to be like those at that one church that it's talked about there in the book of James when people came in and they were naked and destitute and they said, oh, go be warmed and filled and didn't do anything about it. That doesn't do anybody any good either. But the point I want to make today, here's what changes things. When you care, you're going to be concerned not only about the physical state, but the spiritual state. There must be a balance. We can't just get in our minds that one day I'm going to go and I'm going to be a great preacher. Well, I consider the Apostle Paul one of the great preachers, one of the great missionaries. But you know, when I study Scripture, he wasn't filling the Colosseum week after week, was he? He preached on Mars Hill. I'd like to go see it, but I've looked at pictures of it. There wasn't room for too many people. But when I read about the Apostle Paul, I read about the fact that he was in jail in Philippi, and he ministered to the Philippian jailer. And he said, when that jailer asked him, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's the same for everyone. Your house gets saved the same way. Your family gets saved the same way as you do. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, Paul didn't preach to big crowds. That was a jailer. He went and saw a few women by a river one day. He was chained to a Roman soldier. And if you go back to chapter 1, it says this, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel because I got to preach to big crowds. It's not what he said. So that my bonds in Christ, being chained to a single soldier 24 hours a day, being chained to a single individual on a daily basis, notice what happened. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Paul didn't make his great impact on the world because he preached to the biggest crowds. What we find in the book of Acts is that Paul ministered to single individuals and met their need. The need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, it says in verse 20, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Care for your whole person. Will meet you as an individual human being that has physical needs, but I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's Timothy, who would naturally care for their state. Now, this word naturally means to genuinely care. Genuinely care. That's the point I want to make today. I think most of you have heard of a lady called Florence Nightingale. The lady with the lamp. I began to read. I have several ladies who work in the medical field in my church. And I began to look at this idea of caring. And I came across, the first person that came to my mind was Florence Nightingale. And so I began to read about her. She was a nurse during the Crimean War. She gave nursing a favorable reputation before it wasn't thought much of. In fact, her family opposed her going into nursing. They said it's not proper for an affluent young English woman. But she went and she noticed something when these soldiers were being cared for on the battlefield, that at the end of the day, when the 5 o'clock whistle blew, they clocked out and the rest went home. Now, I'm kidding. They didn't have clocks where they clocked out. But every day, at the end of the day, everybody fled. And those poor soldiers, in their suffering, were left there all night on their own and no one cared for them. That's how she became the lady with the lamp. She cared about those men, and she kept many of them alive who would have died otherwise. She cared. She naturally cared. I stand before you today, and I was here quite a few years ago, but I'm standing before you with my natural hair. Don't you like my hair? It's all gray. I have a scoundrel in the audience who, when I turned 40, Brother Mike, who gave me a bottle of Grecian formula. I guess I could use that and dye my hair. But I came before you today, I'm natural. This is just the way it really is, natural. I'm sure there are people in the world who in their DNA are caring people. They're a natural at it. But folks, that's not what this... It means to be genuine. Genuine in your care. I'm concerned with our world today. They're coming out with artificial intelligence. Right? I think it runs more than we realize already. But it's artificial intelligence. What happened to the real thing? But I'm also concerned that in many churches today, they've introduced AW, artificial worship. People going through the motions, but their heart really isn't in it. And a lot of churches have what's called AC. That's not air conditioning, folks. It's artificial caring. Did you ever see somebody on the street corner with a sign? Need food? I took my wife to see where I grew up in Akron, Ohio, on Britton Road, and I couldn't believe it. When I was there as a little child, it was a beautiful place with a park across the street, and it was a wonderful place. Just up the street was Goodyear, and they had the Soapbox Derby just up the street. It was a great place. But when we pulled onto Britton Road, where I grew up, there was a man standing there with one of those signs. And I told my wife, I said, well, at least he's being honest. Because his sign said, need money for beer. I didn't give him any money. But how many times have you gone down the street and seen one of these individuals? I've done it. I handed a little money out the window to help the person. But that's artificial. What was that person's name? Genuinely caring means that we care about people. I don't like to use personal illustrations in one sense because I don't want to glorify myself. I'm not here for that. I don't matter. But I had a man in my church just a couple weeks back that was dying. And I went to the hospital and I pushed the button on the elevator and the elevator doors opened up. And this woman come flying out of the elevator and threw her arms around me. Now, I'm used to that. I'm tall, dark, and handsome, so that happens to me all the time. Now, I've never had that happen to me before. This woman come flying out of the elevator and wrapped her arms around me. She said, thank you for not giving up on my daddy. I spent a year and a half visiting him, not pushing him. Sometimes we would sit in his shop. We would talk. Sometimes we'd sit in his living room. We would talk. Whether it was hunting or fishing, we would talk. And then one morning I woke up and I said, I got to go see Danny today. I don't know why. But it was a little bit unusual. I got there and his wife answered the door and took me into where Danny was sitting in the chair, and she left. Danny was a quiet guy, and I depended upon his wife to kind of carry the conversation from time to time. But she left the room. But I had that burden in the morning. I had to go see Danny today. And the reason she left the room is because she went in the other room to pray. Because during her morning devotions, she pled with the Lord that today would be the day of Danny's salvation. So I was alone with Danny, and I was privileged to lead him to the Lord. As sick as he was, he started coming to church and never missed unless he couldn't get up. What a testimony to the grace of God. He told me one time, he says, Pastor, I don't understand why saved people don't go to church. Thank you for not giving up on Daddy. I just saw him as a man in the neighborhood that I needed to reach for Jesus Christ. And I just showed him that I cared. I don't have a PhD. None of those things. But God gave me a heart that cares. Folks, the greatest thing in your ministry is to be like Timothy and genuinely care about others. What a difference it makes in your own life when someone cares about you, right? What a door is opened to our wonderful Lord and Savior when we care. Genuinely care about people. Heavenly Father, whatever you ask us to do, may we be willing to do it, not in the garb of professionalism, but as one of your servants that cares about people. Give us souls. In Jesus' name.